So the average customer has about 10 feet of window boxes, okay? That is about $2,500 for the initial install. So that's the boxes, the irrigation, and the first season of planting. And then it's about $500 a season after that to maintain it. And the retention rate is 87%.
Wow.
We have so many people that are like, you're going to be the last service that we cut because I love your service. You know, I just love having flowers every day.
All right, welcome back to The Pursuit of Profit. Today, I'm excited to welcome Brett Schneider, co-founder of Wow Window Boxes, a company that's reinventing the art of outdoor container gardening by combining year-round planting, custom designs, and maintenance-free irrigation for homes and businesses. Based in Cincinnati and now expanding through franchising across the U.S., Wow's corporate-owned locations generate over $4.5 million in annual sales, serving an impressive 80% residential customer base with a year-round offering that keeps cash flow consistent in every season. It's a model designed for scalability, minimal staff required, a national support center, and best of all, you don't need to be a horticulturalist to succeed. With their Wow Bloom guarantee and a fully managed, worry-free approach, the brand is redefining what it means to deliver curb appeal and recurring revenue through beautiful design, smart systems, and simplicity. All right, let's get into it. Let's start from the beginning, right? What inspired you to build a business around these window boxes and planters, and how did you land on the concept itself?
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess in complete transparency, it wasn't really my idea or my dream. It was my mom's. So she came up with the idea 16 years ago now. Wow. She wanted window boxes for her house, and they were expensive. So she started planting her neighbors as a means to make money to get window boxes. And then when she went to go purchase them, there were all these people that were, you know, kind of complaining to the owner or the salesperson of that window box company that they, you know, get tired of planting them. Like, they don't want to climb on the ladder and plant them. Halfway through the summer, they get tired of watering them, or they go on vacation and they die. Or even worst case, they couldn't get anybody to hang them for them on their house because they maybe weren't most handy. So she was just like, you know, if I combine all of this, then, you know, it'd probably be a pretty good business. At that time, or when she was all coming up with this, I was a product manager for pneumatic nail guns and compressors and things like that. So I kind of used my marketing background and my connections to help her, like, get, you know, a logo and make sure she had, like, really nice, you know, printed collateral and stuff like that. And so, you know, that's how I kind of got into it. And then when the housing market crashed, I was out of a job because they don't sell pneumatic nail guns when nobody's building houses, right?
Okay, I was going to ask you, like, how do you get involved? So 07, mom creates it. Sue, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep,
Sue. So she creates it in 07. You actually get involved.
Yeah, but I really had no intention of kind of joining the company. It was just kind of like making sure she was getting off the ground. And then, you know, fate dealt me a different hand. And I kind of always thought, well, I can go help her and try to get this off the ground and let's see how this goes. Worst case scenario, I'll always just go find another job, you know, if this doesn't work out. And that was kind of both of our mentalities, actually, because she came from real estate. And so, you know, like I said, it was like 6 years, probably even more, that we were just kind of playing around with it, seeing what it was going to be.
Okay.
And then one day we realized when we had a few employees, and my partner was like, hey, you're responsible for these people. Like, they're depending on you for an income. Like, you can't just quit tomorrow just because you don't feel like doing this anymore.
Right.
And so that was kind of like the real, okay, this is a real thing and we have to kind of get serious about it and grow it. And then since then, that's what we kind of did. And she's been retired for about 6 years now.
Okay. So she's not involved any longer. You took it over and she retired. Okay. Got it. Very unique concept. I mean, I have to say, I think most people listening are still wrapping their head around, you know, can I make money doing this? But just wait, you can make like crazy money. Plus, I don't know this to be true, but I think that you're like a first mover. You're a category creator. Yes, you could buy window boxes, but like you said, yeah, you'll get it. It'll be mailed to your house. You're on your own for everything. And it'll probably die. It'll probably stay in the garage. It'll probably never get hung. If it does get hung, Or if you do buy one, it'll probably rot right on the side of your house if it ever gets there. The plants will die. It won't be irrigated properly. You won't water it. This is just the standard kind of situation with these great, quote, great ideas that, you know, they just fail because people left to their own devices won't manage it. They won't manage the seasonality of it and so on. So with all that being said, now I have a lot of questions, right? I have questions as to, is there a greenhouse? Are you manufacturing the boxes? These things are custom. Do they rot? Like what goes on here? Yeah.
So no, we build all of our boxes out of PVC so they don't rot.
Okay.
They are all custom. So, you know, we can adjust the depth, we can adjust the length. So everything looks like it belongs on your house. So when, you know, if you order something online, many times it feels like an afterthought, like it's a vinyl molded thing and it just kind of like sits there and it doesn't actually fit the window. But this is like trimmed out to actually match your house.
Okay.
It's painted the exact same, you know, trim colors or whatever you guys want to do. But yeah, I think you're right. I think everybody has like one of those, we'll call them good intentions piles,
right,
where we order something offline and we think that we're going to be able to do all that. And for whatever reason, you know, I think a lot of us don't get around to a lot of things. I mean, I still have a bag of black polished like rocks that I was going to put in the yard. And it's just the bag's just sitting on the side of the house because I never did it.
Yeah, you're too busy beautifying everyone else's house. So, all right, what about the greenhouse? Like, this is a lot of plants and a lot of seasonality. What's happening there?
It is a lot of plants. We don't own a greenhouse. I am pretty adamantly against a greenhouse.
Okay.
There's a lot of risk. There's not a huge margin there. You know, so we're not really gaining a lot if we were to do it. So we currently buy from 4 greenhouses here in Cincinnati because one doesn't supply it. Like we buy 25,000 hanging baskets in the summer. So like you can imagine how that's like a little over 5 miles of pots if you were to stack them next to each other.
Wow. What a visual. That was just hanging.
Yeah.
Right.
We, in fairness, we do grow a lot of our summer stuff all in hanging baskets so that they're like bigger and fuller. That's one of our things is we want it to go in and we don't want to have to wait for the plants to grow in. We want it to be immediately beautiful. So we kind of grow plants a little bit bigger.
Okay.
But yeah.
Interesting. So I'm your franchisee. I'm in South Florida. What I'm hearing is that I need to make the box and I also need to negotiate a deal with some growers, some greenhouses to get these species. Are you going to invite, like, I'm not a horticulturist. Do I need to have a botanist? Am I a horticulturalist?
No. So yeah, first of all, we help you come up with all or make all the connections with the greenhouses. You know, we come up with lists. We ask the franchisee to kind of go out and initially scout things. And then when I come down to visit, we kind of go through and, you know, pick out which greenhouse is going to work best. But yeah, we have all the flowers that we would use in the given area. We have these customized recipes in the summer. You know, I was talking about the hanging baskets. So it's basically like 4 plants grown in a hanging basket in a combination that we know works well.
Okay.
And then it also, that recipe, we provide the franchisee with the amount of sun, the amount of shade. So it's kind of all encompassing and a very easy way to do things. So it kind of takes all the guesswork out of it.
Would Florida in the summer be the same plants you're using in, you know, Ohio?
You know, Florida gets maybe a little bit hotter, but essentially, yeah. Like a begonia grown in Florida is the same begonia grown in Maine.
Okay.
It just matters on the frost cycle. So,
okay.
You know, you guys might be a little bit more arid or hot. And so you might want to go a little bit more towards drought-loving plants and a little bit more sun-loving, but essentially, yeah, they're all the same. I mean, we grow periwinkle and lantana and vernangela, like all these really hot loving plants here. You know, bougainvillea. I know that you guys do a lot of bougainvillea and birds of paradise. That all grows here, but it's only in the summer here.
Most people don't get the full story when they start exploring franchising. So they make mistakes that cost them big. That's why my business partner, Justin Guevara, and I wrote Beyond the Brand, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Fearless Franchising. It is our proven 6-step process at Franosity to help you find the right franchise, avoid costly pitfalls, and build a business that truly fits your goals. Grab your copy of Beyond the Brand on Amazon or any major book retailer and start building your future fearlessly. So back to the building of the box. Do I have a team of people? Is that also outsourced or no? We build that in-house.
So we have options both ways. Like when we first started, my mom and I, we weren't building the boxes. We had a buddy that was a Finnish contractor or a Finnish carpenter. And so he would literally, I would call him and say, hey, I need these boxes. And then he would deliver them to my mom's garage. So like literally you could do that if you were intimidated by this. And I thought that that was going to be probably one of the pain points for the franchisees, that they were not going to like this.
Right.
So far, every franchisee is building their own boxes.
Unreal. Like, it's always the case. So it's crazy.
It's really weird. Like, yep. I really thought, yeah.
You know, Harris Franchising, if you made that mandatory, nope, I'm not doing it. If you make it optional, I'll do it. It is it's a phenomenon in this industry. We used to, here's a funny story. We used to have, I was in the catastrophe business. We had in the FDD, you needed to spend $5,000 on this military grade tough book laptop. Because remember, we're taking it into catastrophes. You could drop it in 10 feet of water in someone's basement. Nope, unnecessary. I don't want it. I don't need it. That's crazy. It's $5,000. You're out of your minds. I don't get it. Why can't I just buy a $600 laptop, let it fall in the water, and just buy another $600 laptop?
Right.
Brett? We literally, as a franchisor, rewrite the FDD. We make it optional. Everybody bought it.
It's crazy.
It's what an industry. It is. It is crazy. So if you make building boxes mandatory, everyone will push you back. Make it optional. We'll do it in-house. I find it fascinating.
We'll be happy to do it.
We'd be happy to do it. Exactly. All right. So all your people are now building these boxes, and they're custom fit to the customer's window. I mean, it's not just windows, right? It could be
We've done some like cool wall art, like where we've designed like irregular shapes that kind of put on the wall and then kind of built a planter on top of it.
Okay.
Just to fill up like a huge blank wall. So think of kind of like a living mural kind of. And we do planters as well, you know, for the front door and things like that. So yeah, absolutely. We put them on railings. They're kind of all over the place.
How are you? So your photos and your website are insane. Your social media photos, the customers that are providing photos. I mean, they really are wowed, if you will, lack of a better, right? That's, I think, your concept.
We always say,
right?
Yeah.
And it's true. People can't say enough about it. How are you keeping these things beautiful in the absence of people caring for them?
Well, really, it's the water. You know, when we irrigate them, that's really the key. So we go around and we make sure that the irrigation is, you know, on and running and set for we set it for every single flower that we put in there. And then we put a time-release fertilizer in there that kind of takes care of it. But, you know, a good part of it also is the experience that we've had is over the years, we've picked out which flowers are really good. And this petunia is maybe not the same as this petunia in the way it performs. So, you know, we want to go with the one that kind of self-cleans and the leaves fall off and it continually blooms. So we don't have to deal with that. So
interesting.
That's kind of the trial and error part that we bring to this, you know, that we're like, we're really good at knowing which one that these you guys should use.
But you're adding water. So you're connecting to the water source of the business or the residence, and somehow you're feeding water on some type of drip. Is this proprietary or no? This is an over the...
No, it's not. I mean, I would love it to be, but it's really just like a gardening irrigation system that we've adapted in certain ways, you know, to hide the line. So it goes up like maybe a downspout and we kind of put it in between the siding or something like that, maybe back down behind a shutter. But we run this quarter inch line that's, you know, the size of a Bic pen, and it comes in different colors. And then once it gets in the box, there's a little drip line every 6 inches. So yeah, so it all splits off of the faucet so they can still use it. But then there's a digital timer that we can set up to 4 times a day for whatever we need to do.
Very cool. Is winter, I would tell you on this call, there's seasonality to your business. There's no way you're busier in the winter than you are in the summer. You push me back. Did I hear you right?
Yes. So we are super busy in the winter. So winter is just as big as summer in terms of dollars. What I mean by is we're busier in winter is we have such a finite amount of time in winter because nobody wants Christmas before like or after half like December 15th, right?
Yeah.
Where in summer we can kind of, it's still a big season, but we can kind of spread it out over 2 months or whatever. And people don't lose their minds over that. But, you know, winter, it has to go in after Halloween and, you know, 2 weeks. So you only have it's a very short window to. For us, we're turning over 2,200 clients a season. So in order to change that whole amount over, like, that's long hours, and that's, you know, it's a super compressed time.
Okay, now I understand. All right. How do you see this playing out in a climate like Texas and Florida?
So I think, honestly, it'll give them a longer growing season in January. I think, you know, we have to, here in Ohio, we have to wait to change winter. We can't put pansies in until like March.
Okay.
So I think that they'll probably be able to go around and take out the Christmas and immediately put in pansies and things like in January, maybe mid-January, February, whatever it is. And so it'll just kind of extend that season a little bit longer.
Okay, got it. What's the labor model on something like this? I mean, it's we're building the boxes, we have trucks because we're delivering quite a bit of material to the resident's home or the commercial property. We're now installing it. We're setting up that irrigation. Tell me a little bit about the labor model.
Yeah, so we have owner, operator, and then an executive kind of model. I think almost everybody is doing the owner-operator model, and I think that's probably the best. So you as the owner are going to go out and help your installer. You're going to hire an installer, and you're going to kind of help them in the beginning installing the boxes. And then you're going to add on to that as you grow, and then you'll kind of move into more of a sales role. But there will be two people per truck. That's kind of bare minimum. And there is, you're right, there is like a seasonality, mm-hmm. you know, so you'll be planting and then you kind of have a little dip. So what we do, we keep all of our team all year round. We've tried to hire different things, or, you know, temporary workers or whatever for different things. But we really learned that for this person to kind of become an expert in this, they need to be there at least a year, because every single season is different, you know.
Okay.
So it's not like we can just go in and be like, okay, this is how you make this sandwich, and it's intuitive. Like, spring is different than summer, is different than fall, is different than winter. So we need these people on year round. But anyway, as you have your two people labor model, then, you know, when you go into the slow times, that's when they can build boxes, they can paint them, they can install them. And then you kind of switch back and forth from installing to planting and installing to planting. So you can keep them busy the whole year long.
Okay. Who is the customer? Is it residential, commercial? How does that split work out?
Well, so we started in residential, and I was really against doing commercial for a long time. So, you know, when my mom and I started it, we didn't have a lot of money. You know, we were kind of just, you know, figuring out what we were going to do. And so I didn't want a huge account to be able to just cancel on us, and then we'd be stuck with this inventory.
Makes sense.
So I really was more about building more small accounts, which for me meant residential. So that's where we started. But we ended up getting pulled into the commercial space by our customers, because we were like, you know, doing their house, and they're like, would you do our business?
That's right.
We really need some help on our business. Now, the interesting thing is I really see it going the other way for all the franchisees, because I think that the commercial is going to be the low hanging fruit. Like, there's so many people that have patios and things like that, or just, you know, every time I go out to eat in another city, there's just, you know, they have pots and they're trying to make it cute outside or night look nice. But generally, like, they're having their servers or whatever planted, and it doesn't actually
right.
end up looking very good.
Right.
So I think we're going to get started in there, and then it's going to pull through to their houses.
Okay.
You know,
Interesting.
They're going to do their business.
You're flipping the script. You're going to start commercially and you'll end up residential. Interesting.
I mean, that's just the way I think it's going to work. I'm not sure yet, but that's the way I feel like it'll go.
Yeah. And I get the logic. I don't want one large customer. I want to risk pool my business.
Yep.
I want 15, 20 customers. One leaves. My life doesn't change at all. Yes, it sucks. And I want to get that customer back, but you didn't hurt me. I'm not laying people off, and I'm not watching inventory sit. Speaking of, right, you're not growing it, which means you're buying it from a third party. Are you ever in possession of these plants? Do you have a relationship with the grower where you give it back? Does the plant just die? Does it come back to life with seasonality?
No. So yeah, it's very perishable like that. So, you know, right at this point, we're placing our orders almost a year in advance. So there is a little bit of trickiness to figure out, you know, that quantity of plants,
mm-hmm.
but the greenhouses, you know, say we order 25,000 baskets, they divide that delivery schedule up over, you know, the 8 weeks of summer planting, for example, so that we're getting, you know, constant deliveries of fresh product. So And we can kind of push back and move things around. But at the end of the day, we are responsible for all that inventory.
You are. Okay.
Now, to make it like less like scary for the franchisee, when we first started, that wasn't the case. We were going out and buying like open stock from greenhouses, like wholesale greenhouses. So we had a little bit less control of what we were actually growing and what flowers were available because, you know, we're kind of buying the leftovers of other people's stuff. But it's totally workable and we can figure out how to make that happen in, you know, for the first year or maybe even two while we're growing and really establishing that kind of consistency and that trend. And then once we get comfortable to that, then we can start placing those orders, you know?
Okay. Okay. Your location is the earnings claim, right? The item 19, it's you. Just what is your mix of business? Like what percentage of residential are you versus commercial? Just to understand.
Yeah. We're about 80-20 here in Cincinnati.
80-20.
In terms of clients, in terms of dollars, it's probably more like 70-30.
Okay. Okay. Got it. All right. That headcount on the staff, you were explaining the staff, a business of your size, how many employees do you need to generate the kind of revenue that you're generating?
Well, that's a good question. Well, so we run 11 trucks. So there would be 11. So that'd be 22 people. Plus we'd need a router and a sales guy. So I would say about 25 or 26. By the time you got like a back office and stuff like that.
25, 26 employees to generate over $4.5 million in revenue.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a nice business.
I would like to just tell you what we have. Right now, I think we're sitting at like 36, but you know, we're very heavily staffed for the franchising. Like we have marketing,
right.
We have people that are doing IT. We have a training specialist. So like onboarding, we have a lot of people here that are brought on probably before we needed them, but to make sure that we're ready to go. You know what I mean?
Is your sales support center right here in this building that you're interviewing?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys are handling the inbound, outbound scheduling for your franchisees right there in your building.
We'll handle the scheduling of like the estimate. But other than that, like we don't really handle a lot of scheduling. Our sales support really qualifies the leads, make sure that they really understand our pricing and kind of, you know, walk them through. They get an idea of what the customer wants. Then they provide all that in an opportunity to the franchise. Then the franchise takes that opportunity and actually goes out and looks at the house, takes some photos, does that kind of stuff. And then they make the estimate. And then our sales support center follows up with that, takes the deposit, does whatever needs to be done.
Okay.
And then once the deposit is taken, then they hand it off back to the franchisee and the franchisee runs it through the system.
Okay. All right. Got it. The average ticket, because I'm sensing that I'm not hearing like five revenue streams, right? You talk to a brand, it's like, we do this, 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 and this. Listening to you, it's like, we do one thing really well, window boxes, right? That's what I'm hearing.
One time a mentor told me like to build one big bonfire instead of a whole bunch of little fires, you know? And so that I really took that to heart and it's been good. We've basically, the key to our business is that recurring revenue, right? Like the seasonal planting. Once we get the window boxes up on the house, like if they don't plant it, it's a reminder every single time they pull into their driveway that, hey, my window boxes are empty or they're, you know, they need to be changed. So like it becomes this thing where people are just constantly reminded. So they just want that. Also, we serve about the top 10% of income earners.
Mm-hmm.
So generally speaking, they're not affected by the price of eggs or, you know, if gas fluctuates, like they want their flowers and they want it to look good. And that's kind of the end of it.
That's interesting. So you're right. I pull into my driveway and I see wilted flowers. There's a built-in recurrence there. It creates a sticky relationship between you and the customer. So it's just like, hey, they're dying. When can you come back out and, you know, replenish with the new season or whatever, wherever we are in the timeline of the plant, right? That's interesting. So what is the retention rate and what is the average ticket for a residential customer?
So the average customer has about 10 feet of window boxes. Okay. So that's maybe a 4 foot or a 6 foot or whatever the breakdown is. That is about $2,500 for the initial install. So that's the boxes, the irrigation, and the first season of planting. And then it's about $500 a season after that to maintain it. And the retention rate is 87%.
Wow.
So
once you hang them, like, you own them. As soon as you attach that box to their house, like, you own that customer.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a fun product.
Wow.
You know, I always, like, you were talking before about, like, disaster restoration and things like that. Like, in that situation, you're dealing with a customer that, you know, is probably not having the best day.
Disastrous and, day, right?
Wait, you know, and they're not inherently happy. Where, like, you know, we're providing a service where they come outside and they're taking pictures and they're telling all their friends and they're just happy.
That's right.
We have so many people that are like, tell us that, hey, you know, I don't care whatever happens, you're going to be the last service that we cut because I love your service. You know, I just love having flowers every day.
It's the truth. People do love it. We love our hardscaping. We love our landscaping. We love our interior flowers and good for clean air. I mean, there's a ton of benefits to all that stuff. It's very cool. No, I like the model. The retention rate is incredible. If I heard you correctly, so if I'm an average customer, I'm $500 a year.
$500 a season.
A season, so a season. Grand. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't have any contracts or anything, so they can pick and choose. So I think the last number that I saw was like 76% of all of our customers plant at least 3 seasons.
Okay. Got it. All right. So you're at 1500. Oh. I'm thinking 2000 is the average. You have 2000 customers, you're over 4 million. Okay, got it. Interesting. You're in a massive market. I mean, you're in the home services, gardening, like, you're in this, because you're kind of a category creator. So you're in this massive $600 billion market. If you just broke down the US gardening market, it's like $22 billion.
Yeah,
but you're in a much bigger industry because it's home services, landscape. You're attaching things to the house, right? You're maintaining it. You're setting up the water.
And right now it seems like we're in like the sweet spot because now, you know, with the boomers getting a little bit older, they may or may not be able to do the work anymore. And then the younger generations are generally working so much that they don't have enough time or the, you know, like, they're prioritizing family time if they're doing anything like that.
Totally.
And so, you know, they both want our services. So it's a really nice niche to be in.
That's right. Again, like you said, it has to do with earnings, not age. I like that. It's like, what are the demographics? Who's your customer? It's like male, female, married, single, doesn't matter. They just need to have the discretionary spending to do this.
Yeah.
Period. Right. I like that. What is the total cost? Your item 7.
If I remember off the top of my head, I think it's like 180 to 260. And I think the biggest thing there is whether you purchase or lease a truck.
Okay. Whether you purchase it outright, which is going to be on the higher end. How about space? Right. Am I doing warehouse space, industrial space?
We have quite a few of them that are starting out in their garage. But you could absolutely do like a storage unit. Once we outgrew my mom's garage, we went into a storage unit. And then, you know, it was a good amount of time till we bought our first building we needed, you know, warehouse space. So you don't need a huge footprint.
How many square feet?
If I had to say like 1,000.
1,000 square feet of space. Okay. Right. You're not growing. All you're doing is building. You're building the boxes. You really don't have a lot of inventory.
Yeah. And if you're not building them, then you even need less. You know what I mean?
Right. So I've got box trucks. I've got some employees. I'm thinking, listening to you, maybe less than 10 employees per million in revenue.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, we do. I say for every 2,500 feet, you probably should add another truck.
Okay.
For every 2,500 feet of planting. Yeah.
And the average customer is 10 linear feet. So every 2,500 feet, you should add a vehicle.
Yeah.
And interesting. So that's if I have the math right, that's 250 customers can be supported by one box truck, which is just
per season.
Two employees in a box truck.
Yeah.
Very cool, man. And I've just read your item 19. I was blown away. Would you like to share it, like, with the audience, what you're doing? I mean, I'm blown away by your numbers.
I mean, we offer about, or we end up with about a 7 or 25% profit. If I remember all the item, if I remember all the things, I keep getting confused because I've got new numbers coming in and we're working on the next thing. So I'm like, well, yeah. What did that one actually say? But I think that one quoted at 4.8 million. Right now we're about we should end up about 4.3 million this year in sales. Or I'm sorry, 5.3 million in sales this year.
Wow. Unbelievable. So yeah. You continue to scale even your corporate owned locations in addition to franchising the concept to other people.
Yeah, we have a waiting list. We stopped taking new clients until January of next year.
You're going to do over $5.3 million in 2025.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. You're on a calendar year. I mean, you have to be lethally accurate. We're sitting here in the middle of October, so you know your numbers. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. That's impressive. How many franchisees have you brought on? I could see this brand selling very quickly.
There's 10 cities now that I can think of. I think we have another signing tomorrow, so it's 10 previous to that one. The next Discovery Day next week is another 6 cities, so we'll see what happens. But it's going good, and so far we really enjoy all of our franchisees. Like, they're all super fun people. I think we've done a good job of continuing our culture into that. And you know, there's been a few that we haven't awarded a franchise to because we didn't know that they were going to be the best fit. Culture is always important to me and making sure that we keep that going here.
Tell clients that all the time. You can't just buy it. They all think, I have the check, I'll just buy this brand. You're not buying it. It needs to be awarded to you. They have to see themselves working with you for 10 years, melding and meshing with their culture. You got to be a fit. Fits everything. Yeah. I agree with you. And you should be selective to a degree, right? Because you'd be surprised. Some people surprise
honestly,
you.
I would think they would want that. You know, I would think that they would make sure that they want to be fitting into the culture too.
Absolutely.
It's so key. If I'm going to give up my corporate world job to go do something like this, I want to make sure I'm going to get along with them just as much as, you know, back and forth. I think it should be a two-way street.
I agree with you. Mutual evaluation process.
Absolutely.
We preach it. You're looking at them and they're looking at you, and it just needs to work. Naturally.
Yeah.
I agree with you. And I think you're smart building it.
I'm really excited about where we're going.
Good for you, man. Yeah. I've enjoyed my time with you. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you feature today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FranOcity.com. We love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.